Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com today. Very excited to introduce a personal friend of mine, Dr. Ron Lester. He's from Tucson, Arizona. Here's Dr. Ron.
Hey, this is Dr. Ron Lester coming to you from Tucson, Arizona, the beautiful southwest part of the United States. In this, when you're up there in the north or wherever you're at, I tell you what, it is nice weather here most of the year, especially during the wintertime. And so, anyway, we invite you to come to Tucson. I think you'd love it. And I tell you what, today we want to minister to you for a little bit. In Luke, the 15th chapter and the 11th verse, we'll start there. And Paul's going to read that. It's the prodigal son. And, you know, this is one of the greatest stories in the Bible. And Jesus really elaborates on that. And we're going to call this the prodigal father today. It's always talked about the prodigal son. But I want to put emphasis on this prodigal father today. So, Paul, read a couple verses there, will you?
Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living.
Now we see something there that is very interesting. This father had, which basically is talking about our spiritual father, God, our father. And these two young men this father had two sons. One of the sons, the youngest one, he was so bold that he came to his father and he said, Dad, you know, I want my possessions now. I don't want to wait till you die together to get my possessions. And so we see the father not even arguing with the son, but he goes and I can see him now, you know, having to go out and sell some property, sell some cattle, sell some sheep or whatever. And you know, when we think about this, you know, the whole town knows about this. I mean, this is not no secret. Everybody in the community, you know, these communities, when we look at those communities back then, I tell you what, those communities were, you know, nothing was secret. Nothing was kept from anybody. And so everybody in the town knew about this situation. And this was a very... very embarrassing situation that this father had to go through in asking people, you know, can I sell you this sheep? Can I sell you these cattle? You know, I need to sell you this land. My son is demanding, I don't know if he actually said it, you know, he's demanding, you know, whatever possessions he was supposed to get back then. If you had two sons, one of the sons would get 2/3 and the other son would get 1/3. And so anyway, this father, I'm sure he estimated how much it would be, you know, when he passed on and what have you. And so he gave all of the money to this young man. And we see something here. The father, you know, allows us to go and to the extremes, you know, in our lives. He gives us choices. You know, he doesn't, you know, put a rope around our neck and say, no, you're going to stay right here and you're not going to go anywhere until I die. You're not going to get any possessions until I die. But he did not say that. He says, okay, here you are. And he gave that money to him. And we see this young man taking off. And, you know, after a while, I'm sure he got dissatisfied with everything. And he thought the pastures were greener on the other, you know, over across the other fences and what have you. And it says he went to a foreign country. I don't know how far that is. You know, it doesn't say. But I suspect it. You know, it was quite a distance, you know, down someplace where the Gentiles were. And it says that he went and went to partying. You know, we refer that, you know, here today, a young man will go out and he'll get a lot of money and he'll go partying and he'll have all kinds of friends. Every time that he gets a drink, well, he buys everybody else a drink. And first thing you know, this young man has spent everything. He spent it on wild women and drinks and what have you. I can just see him, you know, taking that money. And, you know, he has his pockets full. He says, oh, man, I got lots of money. I'm going to go spend this money. I see that same thing happening today, you know, and young people, they take and, you know, they get a little money in their pockets, and it's just burning a hole in their pocket. They have to go spend that money. And Paul is sitting right here beside me, and he knows what I'm talking about. You know, they got to go to Circle K. They got to go down to, you know, to the mall. They got to go hunting different things to spend that money on. And I guess, you know, what I'm referring to, you know, our grandkids here, they got, you know, some gift cards during Christmas, and they've been hollering, wanting to go someplace and spend that money. So Mimi took a bunch of them out today, and they went out and they spent some of their money on that gift cards and what have you. But, you know, what I see, and you know, I don't think they went out and you know, had too many drinks or what have you, but anyway, they don't do that right now. Anyway, thank goodness. They might with them when they're away from me. I don't know, away from Mimi or what have you. But, you know, this young man was very bold in going, you know, away from his family and what have you. He was tired of being asked to do this. He was tired of taking care of the sheep. He was tired of taking care of the cattle. He was tired of plowing the fields and planting gardens and planting, you know, the wheat fields and what have you. This young man was sick and tired of being told, you got to do this, you got to do that, and he got stiff-necked, and we see that over in Proverbs. I was reading that this morning, and how that a young man, you know, if you don't use the rod on a young man, you're going to spoil the child. And I thought, man, I see a problem here today in our society with all of the situations with the social services and what have you. Parents are afraid to discipline their kids. They're afraid to use the belt of wisdom. At least that's what I call it, you know. I'm from the old school, and I know that my dad used a big old leather belt on me when I was growing up in the 50s, and I tell you what, I learned pretty quick to obey him, and I didn't cross him. When he said to do something, I jumped at it. I didn't hesitate. I didn't sit around and you know, read the funny books or, you know, read a book or what have you. I jumped to it and got it done. But we don't see that today, and it's hard for me to accept some of the things that our young people are doing and this being disrespectful to the parents and what have you. Excuse me. But, you know, God is still on the throne, and he loves us. He loves each one of us, and he still loved, you know, the Father still loved this young man. Now, we look at this young man, and we think about, you know, here he is out there, and he spends all of his money. First thing we know, his pockets are empty. And first thing you know, there's no more friends. No more. I mean, every friend that he had, that he thought he had, disappeared. You know, that's the way it is. When you run out of money, I tell you what, your friends disappear. And so anyway, all of his friends disappeared. He got to that place where he was basically broke. And it says that he attached himself to an individual that basically had a bunch of swine to feed. Now, this is a really sad situation because this is a Jewish boy, and there is nothing more despicable than a pig for a Jew to eat any pork. And here this young man is in the hog pen trying to feed those pigs. And I tell you what, he was hungry. He got hungry, and nobody would give him any food. And so anyway, he got to that place where he said, you know what? I you know, and this is where we have to get. A lot of times these young people have to get to the very bottom of the barrel, you know. They have to get to, you know, to the place where that they're strung out on drugs and they're broke and they have no you know, their body is rank. It is you know, they haven't taken care of themselves properly, and so they wind up in the you know, the hog pen. And there is nothing that smells any worse than a hog pen. We used to raise pigs, and I tell you what, you know, it is a bad smell. One time we went down, I think within the 7th or 8th grade, and the principal took us to my dad's farm, and we worked the pigs and what have you during school. And I tell you what, we come back to school, and oh man, everybody was like, "Where have you guys been anyway?" And it's putrid. I tell you what, I never went to school with, you know, with those dirty clothes. I even though that I fed the pigs and done this and done that, I tell you what, it was you know, it was a stinky, stinky mess. And so anyway, here we see this young man. He finally comes to himself. It says he wakes himself up and he realizes, you know what? My father's servants have it better than this. And he picks himself up and he begins to go toward home. Now we see that we go back to the father, and we see this father, you know, he was very anxious, and he was you know, at that point where that he knew that if his son ever came back, he really had hoped that his son would come back, and he had that desire to see that son. He knew that if he did not see that son first, and the people of the community seen him and caught him, that they would actually stone him to death. This was a policy. If you took the goods from your family and the rest of the town seen what happened, they would literally stone you to death. And so this father was out there looking every day, you know, up on a ladder or up on the top of the house or someplace high. And the ground back then probably was not, you know, it might have been pretty flat or what have you, and he could see a long ways. And he began to look every day, look for that young man, because he knew that one of these days that young man was going to run out of money and he would come back begging, you know, to be, you know, come back to, you know, into the fold in some aspect. And so we see this young man as he begins to struggle. He begins to walk. His hair is, you know, he's barefooted. He's lost all of his shoes. The clothes, the robe that he has is filthy. It's torn. It's just barely hanging on. And so his hair is long. He's filthy. But his father is looking, and this is our Heavenly Father, and you see our Heavenly Father looking to see who is coming back, who has a desire to be saved, who has a desire to come back into the fold. You know, God allows us to go to that place where, you know, he knows that, you know, that we're going to do wrong. We know, he knows that we're going to take the wrong road at times. You know, But this young man had gone out and he had sowed what we call sowed his wild oats. And a lot of people, you know, will talk about our teenage boys and what have you. Young men, they go out and they sow their wild oats and they get in trouble and what have you. But anyway, we see this young man as he's coming down the road. His father is looking and he sees him finally. And his eyes are getting dim and he looks and he says, I wonder if that is my son. And he begins to watch him, and he says, yeah, I believe that's him. He is walking just like my son. I wonder if this is him. And as he gets a little closer, he says, yes, I believe it is. And he takes off, and he begins to run toward his son. And his son sees his father coming, and they meet. And the father begins to kiss him. He begins to tell him he loves him and he cares about him. He's not angry with him at all. And that's where our Heavenly Father is. He is a loving father and he cares about you today. He cares about you no matter what you've done. He's so loving and caring. Oh, praise God. He wants you to come back to the fold. He wants you to be in the fold today. And I just see this father as he comes in. He says, bring me a robe. Put on a new robe on this young man. And, you know, he puts a new robe on him. You know, he's this young man is asking. He says, "You know, Father, I've sinned, and I want to be one of your slaves." And the father says, "No, you're not going to be one of my slaves. I'm going to put a new robe on you." And so he puts a new robe on him. And you know, I'm sure that he probably took a duck in the, you know, in the pool of water somewhere, washed a little bit, washed some of the filth off of him before he put that robe on. And the next thing he put on him was a pair of shoes. You know, all the slaves back in those days basically did not have any shoes. They didn't have any sandals. They did not, you know, allow them to put on sandals. And can you imagine over there in that sand, walking on that hot sand day after day? Their feet was very calloused. And I know that many times people that I knew back in the 50s, there was a lot of people that basically, we didn't have any shoes. I went to school many times without shoes during the springtime and the fall. We went to school barefooted. Everybody went to school barefooted, seemed like. And it was a country school, and so it was not unusual for us to wear nothing, you know, on our feet. But this young man, the father said, "No, you're not going to be a slave. I'm going to put a pair of shoes on you, and that means that you're not going to be a slave, but you're going to come into the fold." And the other thing, he says, I'm going to put a ring on you. And that ring basically gives him the authority to be of the father's son. Oh, praise God. Can you see this son? I mean, he brings him back into the fold. He gives him a robe. He gives him a pair of shoes to put on, sandals, and he puts a ring on his hand. And this young man is brought back into the fold. Hallelujah. That's our Father. That's our Heavenly Father. And he loves each one of you today. He cares about you. This prodigal father went to the very extremes of allowing the son to take all of his money and blow it. But he brought him back in to the fold, put a robe on him, put a pair of shoes on him, put a ring on his hand. Oh, can you see? And then he says, "Let's kill the fatted calf." Oh, and he kills the fatted calf, and he says, "Let's have a party. My son that was lost is now found." Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the way our Heavenly Father is. He says when a person gets saved, He says the angels begin to rejoice. And I see a reunion and an excitement in heaven when someone gets saved. Praise God. The angels rejoiced. Hallelujah. And I just believe the angels rejoice today. If you're lost, I tell you what, I believe the Lord will bless you if you'll come to the Lord today and say, "Yes, Lord, I have sinned. I've come short of the glory of God." He says, each one of us have come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Oh, praise God. But He says the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. The gift, the special gift of eternal life, is just for you and I. But we see a problem with that other son, the oldest son that never left the place. He has a rebellious attitude when he comes in. He says, "What is going on?" He talks to his father, and his father tells him, "The youngest son has come home, and we're having a party." And the oldest son gets so upset. He begins to say, "You never have killed the fatted calf for me. You never had a party for me." Isn't that the way people get sometimes when people get saved, when they get out of the drugs and when they get out of the alcohol and get delivered from all of this? Some of the people that have been saved for years, they get all upset and they can't rejoice with the reunion that is happening. Praise God. I've seen it so many times that people just, who is this individual that's coming in here? They've seen this man and this woman, playing around and doing all kinds of things and coming from a drunken stupor and everything. But here they come and get saved. And we see a jealous streak that rises up. I tell you what, folks, we've got to get over that and rejoice when somebody gets saved. Rejoice when somebody comes home. Somebody that is delivered from their sins. Somebody delivered from their alcohol. Somebody delivered from their drugs and addictions. Praise God. I see a miracle happening today. Right now, you need to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll come to you. I asked you, Lord Jesus," just say this, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I want you in my life today. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all of my wickedness, all of the things that has happened in my life. I'm tired of the way that I'm living." Oh, praise God. If you have said that, I believe the Lord has come into your heart. He is saying, "Yes, Lord, I'll accept you as, into the fold." Oh, praise God. Just say, "Yes, Lord, I want you in my life. I want to yield my life to you, Lord." Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for saving that soul out there. I don't know where you're at today. You may be someplace around the world, but I tell you what, I believe the Lord is touching lives right now. I believe the Lord is delivering people of their sins. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to His name. Somebody needs to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody lift your hands up and say, "Praise God for that soul. Thank you, Lord, for that individual that has received you as their personal Savior. Thank you, Lord, for souls and lives that are changed right now." Oh, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord. You are such an awesome God. Glory to His name. Thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord, today. Oh, God is so good. Hallelujah. Praise His name. We just want to praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is Dr. Ron Lester. I tell you what, we are in Tucson, Arizona, and we are so thrilled that you have been with us today. And I tell you what, I have two books out. One is, one of them is, I'm Blind. What's Your Excuse? I'm Totally Blind. And, you know, I just feel like God is still using us, and we're grateful for that. And the other one is The Day the Lights Went Out. And I tell you what, you can pick those up on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, Apple. You can download them as an ebook, or you can buy the book and read it and then give it to someone, or buy it as a gift. I tell you what, I think you'll definitely enjoy it. I do have a website. It's Dr. Ron, R-O-N, Lester, L-E-S-T-E-R, .com. And, you know, don't put any dots in there, just D-R, no capitals. And I tell you what, it is a pleasure to be with you, to preach to you and minister to you. Hopefully you receive something from the Lord today, and, you know, encourage you to support BPN Radio. I tell you what, we are blessed to have Pastor Dale and Gentry and Ruth and Rick. I tell you what, we appreciate each one of them. We appreciate, you know, all that they do and all those that work with us. I know that, you know, it takes a great staff to put all of this and keep it organized. And, you know, we're just grateful that God is ministering to you today. And thank you for attending and listening. And, you know, we preach all day long. I do a special needs watch on Thursdays at 1 o'clock and at 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. And encourage you to listen to that. We do interviews, and then we pray for people that, you know, that have a special need and what have you. And I just want to pray for people out there today, right now. Father, I ask you, Lord, to minister to each one of those that are listening today, Lord, and all of those that are part of BPN Radio. I ask you to minister to them, Lord. We ask you to touch their lives, Lord. You said that you would give us life and more abundant. Lord, right now we claim that life. We claim that more abundance. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek his righteousness. Oh, yes, Matthew 6:33. I just praise God that you have listened, and we're all seeking the Lord. I tell you what, this is a new year. Encourage you to fast and pray. Use the vegetarian diet if you get a chance to do that, to fast. The Daniel diet, I tell you what, I know that you'll be blessed. The thing is, if you do physical sacrifice, it will release the Holy Spirit in your life. But you've got to do physical, you know, do something physical, fast that physical food or anything. You know, maybe it's, you know, some activities, maybe it's TV that you're watching too much of. You know, fast it and read the Word of God and pray and seek the Lord. This is the time to do your fasting and praying. This is, you know, we usually, everybody does 21 days of fasting in January. And I just encourage you to do that. I just believe the Lord will bless you and use you and you'll grow in power and strength if you'll do that. I just believe it'll be a blessing to you if you'll do that. And I just encourage you to step out and fast something this year and expect something. We need to expect something, and pray for our government, pray for our president, pray for, you know, the House of Representatives, pray for the senators, pray for our Supreme Court justices. I tell you what, we are in need of a revival across this land, and I know that God is able. God is able to minister across this land, and I know that there is a real challenge, especially on the borders. We pray for God's wisdom, that God will give wisdom to our Congress and give wisdom to our president of what to do and how to do it. and that God's protection will be upon our border guards and all of our police officers. I tell you what, last year was the deadliest year for police officers. I tell you what, we need to pray that God would minister to each one of our police officers and protect them. I just pray for them right now. God's protection be around about them. And, you know, God is able. Hallelujah. God bless you. This is Dr. Ron Lester, and we'll talk to you soon. In the name of Jesus. Amen.